Hey, America.
Start this now.
Best one yet.
Magnificent. Yeah.
Choir of angels, all of us, seriously.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Before we ease into things, I'd like to say thank you to Eric. He hooked me up with a sweet $6 deal on a new podcasting microphone, the same one that he uses.
Yeah, that's definitely what happened.
My crystal clear voice is going to be very crystal clear in the future. So here's a list of other things that we can get for $5 on Amazon. The list, actually, it's just one thing. It's Melvin Capital Management. Ha ha. Oh, this joke is going to age like milk. Roll it.
Et bienvenue dans un autre épisode étranger de 12 points d'Amérique, un podcast Eurovision d'Amérique, où mes amis ne savent pas ce que je dis. Je m'appelle Eric.
Je m'appelle Derek.
Demande, c'est moi.
And I'm Danny.
Yeah. Les grenouilles mangent le pamplemousse.
Si, or oui, whatever. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, how's that Duolingo going, man?
Well, it's yeah, actually, I'm glad you asked, because Duolingo has started having me say things that are depressingly accurate. Like, it was easier when I was younger.
Uh-oh.
Like, duo? What the hell, man? Like, I don't want to think about that when I'm learning my new language.
What could be more French than the futility of life?
I suppose.
Should be sitting at some corner cafe, you know, staring out the window, cigarette in hand, slowly burning.
High contrast, black and white.
Speaking of the futility of life, Sam, hit him with the socials.
Feel free to hit us up on social media. Enjoy the futility of life with us. Yes. Twitter and Facebook at 12pointsUSA. You can email us directly at 12pointsfromamerica@gmail.com. Check out our website, just 12pointsfromamerica.com. If you want to support us, scope out our Redbubble for all sorts of wonderful swag.
Oh, yeah.
The swaggiest of swag. Probably not the swaggiest of swag. Okay, I should probably put an asterisk there.
There is swag.
Yeah, there is swaggier swag out there, certainly. But
don't sell it short. It's pretty swaggy.
Yeah, true. Yeah,
it's pretty darn swaggy.
Yeah. Shall we roll into our now semi-traditional burning question?
Oh, yes.
A new but important tradition.
I like it.
I like it, too. Let's see. What do we have?
Oh, this one actually comes from... Oh, it's from Derek. All right, Derek, hit us.
So the question this week, something I was kind of thinking about. What is your Eurovision red flag? Something that, maybe not an automatic disqualifier, but something that's a warning that things are about to go south, either musically or stage presentation or something.
Who wants to start?
I'll start.
Oh, dear.
It's kind of a bifurcated answer because there's a main section and then an offshoot section. Usually it's a red flag 9 out of 10 times if the song itself references Eurovision.
Dang it, you took mine!
It's honestly my least favorite trope. I think the only exemption from this rule is... Who was the comedy act from Iceland? This is, gosh, like, what, 8 or 9 years ago? Sam, who is this?
Comedy act from Iceland?
Oh, she was the ditzy girl.
Oh, of course. Sylvia Knight. Yes.
Yeah, Sylvia Knight. Yeah.
Congratulations. Yeah.
Even she gets on my nerves as far as that trope is concerned. But this also stretches out to just like when a band is performing at Eurovision and they feel the need to be like, what's up, Eurovision? Like, even that gets on my nerves. So let it not be said that Lake Malawi was not without its...
I was going to say, Lake Malawi did that, dude.
In my book. Just sing your really good song and don't do that. The worst part of the Lake Malawi thing was then they like used that when they were like, and remember to vote for Lake Malawi, and here's them shouting, hello, Eurovision. I'm like, ah, oh, God.
You see, you seem to hate it when they do that in the live performance. I hate it when it's baked into the song itself.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's a cardinal sin. That's just dumb. I hate that, too.
Yeah. Like my least favorite song... Eurovision of all time is a song called Beautiful Song. It was Latvia's entry in 2012. Singer named Anne Mary. The song was all about how she was going to go to Eurovision because she was born the year that Johnny Logan won and was destined to do well and become a massive star and like not call Paul McCartney and Mick Jagger back when they call because she's too big of a star now. And it's I hate it when a Eurovision song is so dependent on the contest that it can't stand on its own two feet.
Yeah.
And this one was just so bad. The only time that a self-referential Eurovision song actually, like, I enjoy and I embrace was the Belgian song from 1980. I have to reach back to before I was born with a song literally called Eurovision.
Uh-huh.
And the song was so self-referential that it became really one of the earliest parody songs at the contest, but it was completely self-aware of what it was doing. It was just singing about the contest and how all these people are coming together. That is the only exception to this. There are way more beautiful songs, quote unquote, than there are Telex. Oh, God. Hate that song with a passion.
Now, Sam, remind the folks at home how that song did. Beautiful song.
Oh, no.
Not well. It oh, did no. not qualify.
You don't say.
No. Who'd have thunk? Who'd have thunk?
Let this be a warning to you all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So my Eurovision red flag is Switzerland.
Oh, no.
it's a big plus, though.
It's a big plus. Now, a couple of things come to mind. One, in terms of performance, is faking a technical problem. I don't know why people keep doing this. It never works. I mean, Valenay, one of my favorite Eurovision songs of all time, did this in the performance. It was so incredibly unnecessary. Mm-hmm. I would say they executed it better than most, and it still just is dumb. It did get them through to the final. I'll give them that, where it should have done better.
Yeah.
My other one, and this is just from like a songwriting and presentation and so forth standpoint. Anytime a song can be described by the adjective safe.
Yeah.
Like, that's not a compliment. You know, like, this is a fine song, but it's safe, which just means it's either going to finish somewhere between 9th and like 13th in whatever semifinal it's in.
Criminally boring.
And yeah, like it doesn't necessarily make for a bad song. It doesn't necessarily make for a good song. But when I'm looking at, okay, which of these songs do we really need to be looking at as a potential winner and that sort of thing? If a song is safe, forget it. Just forget it. Why would you be safe at a competition that you are ostensibly trying to win? I know not everyone is necessarily trying to go all in and win every single time, but just choosing to be safe is baffling to me.
Concur.
Derek, the question asker, good. What say you?
That's going to be tough. I'm not that interesting, though. Something I was thinking about that really kind of worries me is if there's like a love song, but it's entirely one-sided.
How do you mean?
I was going to say. This idea in like storytelling called call and response, and that there's a back and forth of some kind. Even if it's just one person seeing, there's an acknowledgement that there's another person there and they have some agency. And I feel like there's a lot of these love songs where it's all about I think you're beautiful, I love you, I'm going to do all this stuff, but they're completely outside of it.
I know that we had this kind of discussion when we first heard I Can't Go On. And like when you're describing this, like my brain goes immediately to I Can't Go On. It's like, where's the other half of this conversation?
Yeah, by itself, yeah. That's really creepy.
Yeah.
And it just needed a couple of lines to acknowledge that she's into him.
I still like to think that Robin Bengtsson is singing I Can't Go On to himself in a mirror.
Maybe.
Like he's on the treadmill, but he can see himself because he's at the gym, and he's just like, you are so freaking beautiful, man. Can't go on.
And he falls off the treadmill.
Mm-hmm.
Whee!
I'm going to be honest, not something I think about a lot when I think about lyrics and songs, Derek, but that's a good point. Yeah.
Universally, when I see that in a song, like it automatically gets my hackles up, like the one that we were just talking about. And I think back to 2011, the Russian song Get You. It was also very one-sided and no agency on the other half of the conversation. It's just sketch. It's just very non-consensual and very, very uncomfortable.
Bedroom.
Oh.
Has the line, saw you in the corner with your eyes on mine. Knew what you were thinking because you read my mind. Or something like that. But at least he's acknowledging that she's looking at him and that there's that initial attraction versus Bankston being Bankston. The bank.
Good question, Derek. Thanks for bringing that one. And of course, you folks at home, if you have a burning question that you would like to throw at the four of us, feel free to send it our way, either through Facebook or Twitter. We're always happy to hear them from you and also to answer them. And you may hear your question and a shout out from us on a future podcast. So 12 Points USA. Shall we roll on to news?
Yes.
Let's do this.
We have a song. We have another song on our roster, y'all.
I'm so excited.
I know. It's France.
So it's France, yes.
It's so France. It is after the sort of who the heck knows what country last year's song came from that supposedly was only recognizable as France by the fact that
the
Eiffel
Crew
Tower
store come to life that was Tom Lieb.
Tom Liebudibudauchu.
Yeah.
They have gone all in.
Yeah, I have to say, this is, I think when we, so the song is called Voila. And I think when we get down to it, this is an incredibly French song, but, and I will say this, I don't know how this is going to do. This song is a bold choice. The style, at least. The delivery. This is like French chanteuse in a 1950s moody new wave movie. There's some bold emotion in this song that is not necessarily poppy.
But a lot of the time, something like that can break through. I think of some of the other sort of old school genre entries that we've had in the past. I think of Salvador.
Yep.
The sort of old school jazz, not in English, very introspective and emotional, that really broke through. You could argue 1944 was something similar. Madness of Love in 2011 was old school jazz and mostly in Italian.
This definitely seems like the jury would go for it.
Yeah.
And it's hard to predict what's going to happen considering we only have three songs, but this is impactful. Mm-hmm. This is really, really impactful.
I will say the last two songs that got picked more or less immediately went to the bottom of the betting odds.
Oof.
This one did not.
Hmm.
It went almost straight to the top. It's currently in third.
Wow.
Behind...
probably Lithuania, I'm guessing.
Yep. Lithuania and Iceland are ahead of it. Mm-hmm. That's it. And again, betting odds, it's early February, for God's sake. But I guess the point is, this is the first song that odds makers or whatever feel like this is a potential contender. So I guess, do we think this could be it? Just purely hypothetically, could this be it?
I can see it. I can see it.
I can as well. I can as well. Again, it's super, super early and I feel ridiculous for even saying it, but this gives me a similar feeling to the first time that I heard 1944 and to the first time that I heard Amore Billisch Deutsch.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It has two of the things that we talk about as far as a Eurovision contender is concerned, which is it has a clear, we call it the call to action, which is why should I care about this song? It's just kind of inherent in the lyrics. And because, and I think for a related reason, I absolutely believe what she's singing.
Oh, yeah.
This is incredibly sincere for as bold as its emotion is.
Right. Because it is autobiographical. She, you know, Barbara Pravi, we haven't even mentioned the singer's name. Her name is Barbara Pravi.
Ah, Babs.
Oh, little Babs. Oh, Barbara Pravi. Sorry, that's more Italian. Barbara Pravi?
There we go.
Uh-huh.
Gonna get the up in there.
Pravi.
Pravi. Je ne sais pas. I don't know. Yeah, it's not a song that was just paired to her. She co-wrote this. It's all about her exposing herself to the world as an artist, saying, here I am, you know, judge me, remember me, listen to what I have to say for the first time, not hiding behind something else. And it's very, very touching if you read into it. And my French isn't that good, but even then, the emotions are just palpable through this.
Mm-hmm.
Especially, like, I have a feeling we'll probably delve into this a bit more deeply. We'll do, as we get closer to the big contest, we'll do our previews and kind of pick and choose and kind of dissect these songs a bit more. But I found it to be super honest and introspective and very genuine.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't force that with a song that's just, I'm going to sing a song now. It's real.
I'll tell you what's unbelievable about this song. is that a lot of the songwriting team is it's the same people who did Jimagi.
And Bim Bam Toi.
And if you had, those songs are so bubblegummy, so poppy. This, if anything, is a testament to the versatility of this songwriting team. My God.
Yeah. Yeah. Barbara Pravi and Igit, who was in the national final a couple of years ago with another sort of like a male Piaf kind of jazz chanson kind of deal called Lisboa, Jerusalem. But yeah, just the fact that you can come up with the Lisa Frank dream of Jean and the Edith Piaf. I mean, I keep coming back to Piaf, but like if somebody had said, oh, yes, this was the song she had recorded back in the 40s, I was like, OK, I could believe that.
That's it. Yeah, that's the description.
Yeah, it's modern Piaf.
Yeah. To touch on a couple of things that I don't think we've mentioned about this song and what makes it work so well. One is that it's staged incredibly well. The sweeping camera angles, that not a ton of color, because it's not an especially colorful piece.
They used all their color budget on Jimagine, let's be real.
Yeah. Well, okay, that's fair. Yeah, they were all out. But her performance, she sings very evocatively and effectively, and it's just done so powerfully. And the staging is simple but effective. And the other thing I think is part of the song itself, Sam, you had talked about this when we were watching it live, that at the end it has this frantic tempo change.
Oh yeah.
It's almost like, I mean, it adds to the passion, it adds to the urgency of what she's saying. Voila, here I am. This is maybe overstating it a bit, but it's almost like a panic attack.
I was about to say, it feels like an anxiety attack.
Yeah. There's this sense of urgency that is key to the emotion of the song, and the way the song is presented musically, you feel it. That's incredible. So, yeah, I think this could be it. There are so many things we don't know. You know, there are 38 songs left, but this is the bar that has to be cleared for sure. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
I want to say too. Not always, but France has a pretty good history of writing very beautiful lyrics for their songs. If you read into it and see the translations, they're like very poetic. And this one is no exception. I immediately looked at the lyrics because I was curious what she was saying. And it has this great repetition where she says, voila, here I am, just over and over again. But it works in the narrative of the story that she's telling, that she's kind of desperate for attention and she's putting herself out there 100%. Like, she's got nothing left. And I think it really works.
Yeah. Just
even
laying
if
it
you
out
don't know
table.
What she's saying.
And the thing is, like, if you don't know what she's saying, chances are you know the French word, voila.
Yeah.
And it's by that repetition, it sticks in your head. You can automatically identify it. And during a reprise on the final, it's like, oh, yes, it's that voila song. I remember that. It stays with you. And it's very, very... very well planned songwriting.
Mm-hmm. Also, what a glow up!
Yes,
for France.
Like France coming from behind.
Like, can we just acknowledge for one hopefully final time that the French delegation shut down what is possibly the most famous structure in the world, so they could introduce the best in me. just you at home, give yourself a moment. Like, pause the show or whatever to just think about how they shut down the Eiffel Tower so that a Walking Gap ad could sing the lamest song you've ever heard. I'll wait. I was thinking about that a lot during like the entire French national final and thinking about how grateful I was that A, they were doing a final, B, it was really good. There were a lot of great songs in this final. Three, it was an amazing show. Every interval was amazing. Valentina was there singing Jimagine, and she was delightful. She is the happiest child in the world. You cannot tell me otherwise. It's great.
Can I also just say the moment where the last French Eurovision winner, Marie Myriam, who won back in the 70s, got to hand Valentina her junior Eurovision trophy that she had won in Poland. They handed that to her during the show. And that was just such a sweet moment that, you know, one champion handing over the trophy to another.
Aww.
And I will just blissfully ignore the moment, the fact that everybody was way too close to each other with no masks.
Oh, God. Yeah, this was a super final and a super spreader. there were, I guess, I don't know what the corona situation is in France. I cannot imagine it as good as that event suggested it was.
Just everybody was standing so close. And we know that one act had flown all the way from Tahiti and only had landed like 2 days before the show. And
yeah,
just take care of yourselves. Please just stay inside for a little while.
Please, please,
please.
S'il vous plaît.
Please.
Please.
S'il vous plaît.
S'il vous plaît. Anyway.
That aside, it was a great show. The Dunk was there.
The Dunk.
We saw The Dunk. He performed Arcade with a number of the acts. Amir of J'ai Cherché fame was there. He performed a bit of that along with a few of his other songs. There were a couple of different just cool medleys of things.
It just felt good.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a very lovely little national final. And
Valentina did a bit of Ne partez pas sans moi, which was great. She sounded great. Everything about this was great. There were a number of excellent songs, and also Pony X was there.
Pony the 10th?
Oh, maybe it was Pony the 10th.
Late
That's
House
probably
the
what
10th?
It was. Yeah.
I'll say, if you can track down the show and you haven't watched it, definitely go watch it. It's the best Eurovision thing to happen in over a year now.
It really was phenomenal. And France, not a Taub Lieb in sight.
Yeah, he was completely devoid of the...
Unless he was the one in the pony mask.
Ooh.
You kidding? Okay. Taub Lieb is still trucking around the catacombs at this point. They're not opening those doors until Eurovision is over, just to be sure.
So you just stay down there and think about what he did?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
The only way to be sure.
But we now have a new French song to look forward to.
It is
Voila,
phenomenal.
Barbara Pravi. Congratulations, France. You have something to be proud of. Shall we roll on to one of the many other countries?
There's other countries?
No, it's all France. The empire is back. It's just taken over.
Well, I can't think of any country that could possibly be as interesting. Oh, never mind. It's San Marino.
It's San Marino. No. No big updates yet on song selection, though.
We have a date. Sunit's song for Rotterdam will be unleashed to the masses on February 23rd, just a couple of weeks from now. It's nice because everybody keeps saying, oh, yeah, we'll send our song in March. You'll hear our song in March. You'll hear our song in March. We'll get something in February. Thank you, San Marino. And she's given us a little lagniappe to hold us over with another song from her freaky tour to Rotterdam.
Yeah.
She stops in Greece and is serving us Alcohol is Free.
Oh, God.
Yes. Yes.
This one's weird.
That's
and yet at the same
too.
Time. And yet at the same time, it's probably the closest we've had to the original version of the song.
Yeah.
Musically.
Yeah.
I really do appreciate how creative these things have been and how fun they've been. It feels like just a crazy, wild fashion show with like Grace Jones or with like...
That's so neat.
Yeah. If you liked Freaky, if you like weird things...
And I do.
Maybe check these out.
Oh, I have.
My sales pitch energy is not super high, but it's fun. It's really fun. This is a good one. The last couple have been a little underwhelming to me, but I like this one.
They can't all be bangers.
True. But Alcohol is Free, you're working with some damn good source material.
What if she did The Best in Me?
Oh. Moving on, let's talk about Panda Bomb Is Now, Yo.
All right.
Please, can we move on?
We can.
Thank you.
All right. Which so several pandas were bombed out of contention, it looks like.
Yes. They had their semifinal. So they had a handful of heats previously, but now we have what can be called a semifinal. They chopped five songs from their roster, giving five a pass to the final, which will be this upcoming weekend. Moving on to the final will be Gebrassi, who topped the jury and televote. So probably the biggest challenge to the group.
What was theirs?
Where do you want to go?
Where do you want to go? Yeah.
Oh, right. The Windows 95 song.
This is the biggest challenge.
Yeah, it won the semifinal with top voting on the jury count as well as the televote.
The lyrics in this are really awkward.
Well, you try running something in Lithuanian.
I don't have to.
Fine. You're not my real
take that, Sam.
I've been firmly put in my place. I apologize. Yeah.
Well, Voldemort Peterson will also be there in the final.
Yep. Yep. Martina Yezepchikaite, Evita Kololololololololo, and Tits and Beans.
Tits and Beans. I'm in love with Lithuania's roster. It's just... And then Martina.
Yeah.
Martina Navratilova.
All right. Bottom line. Is
there anyone going to actually
Is there any chance the Roop loses this?
Yeah.
I'd put
$25 on this.
That they're going to lose, no. Or that they're not
No,
gonna
that
lose.
The Roop is just going to go. Yeah.
They're just going to go.
It should go. But I'm also very pro Roop.
Go to the end. I mean, they're going to take it.
Oh, they're going to win Eurovision?
They're going to win. That's No, not Eurovision, but they're going to go to Eurovision. That's what I mean.
I hope you're right. I really hope you're right.
I hope so, too. I think the song is outstanding. We've talked about it already. I still personally like it a fair amount more than On Fire. And, Derek's giving me a look.
No, that's just how his face looks.
Oh, that's right. I knew that. Yeah, sorry, Derek. Lithuania in enormous numbers. They're something like 70% of Lithuanians watched the national final last year, and they voted for the Roop in overwhelming numbers. They're not just, I don't see a scenario where they don't do it again. I just don't.
So, when's the first semi for Melody Festival? And
sometime. I don't know. Sweden's going to send a good song, whatever.
It is this Saturday.
Yes.
So I am going to be...
Which means we'll have their Eurovision entry by June 10th.
Give or take.
Yep.
It'll be their standard four semifinals, second chance round, and then the grand final. But it's all going to be from Stockholm. They're not doing their grand national tour like they normally do. So we do know who is performing in which semifinal. This week it's going to be Kadia 2 with One Touch, Lilla Sister with Pretender, Jessica Anderson with Horizon, Paul Ray with The Missing Piece, Arvin Garna, who are Eurovision alumni, with Tenkerin to Ozgohim, Natalie Brildoff with Fingerprints, and one of the favorites for this year, Danny Sauceda with Dandy Danza.
Dandy Danza. Da, 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 da. What's his deal?
Danny Sauceda. He came in second place to Melody Festivalens on the Trot in 2011 and 2012. So he fell to Erik Sauda, who we will see in another semifinal, as well as Rien. So I think he might be out for blood. We haven't seen him in a couple of years, but Danny is very well known in Sweden. I know, Eric, you are a fan of Tuse Chisa. I know he'll be performing in the third semifinal.
All right. I'm going for 2 weeks.
Are there any favorites at this point?
They seem to put the big names last in each semi.
Mm-hmm.
In this semi that we have this upcoming weekend, it's going to be Danny Saucedo. So all eyes are on him. Next week, we'll have Daughter in that pimp slot. Did I say pimp slot?
Yep.
I just said pimp slot. No, I just said it again.
Pimp slot. Yeah.
Daughter will be ending semifinal 2, Tusei in semi 3, and the aforementioned Erik Sauda in semi 4. So certainly a lot to think about. By the time that our show airs, you will probably hear the song in full for the first round of songs. They hold everything so close to the chest over there in Sweden. They have it's very, very irritating for us fans who just want to hear everything. Let's be real.
Those Swedes.
Yep. Anyway, right over the border in Norway. We had that would have been the third semifinal for Norway with Emmy's song Witch Woods advancing.
I'll tell you Witch Woods, not this one. I don't like it.
Okay then.
Subject matter aside, this feels like a junior Eurovision song to me. It just feels a bit juvenile and silly. I'm going to recite some lyrics from Witch Woods because I want to. Here they are. Here we chop, chop, boys, like we chop, chop wood. Welcome to the hood. Chop, chop. Burn it up. Fire's hot. Can't stop. Must chop. Choppy chop. Gather it and burn it up.
The child summarizing the plot of an axe murder.
This sounds like the winner from Belarus this year.
A song with these lyrics won a semifinal in the year of our Lord 2021. I don't really like it. I didn't really like much of the songs this past week.
Eric's got a big problem with Choppy Chop.
Yeah. It beat out Big Daddy Karsten, an accurately described person. His song was good. I know that like gay isn't a genre of music, but It was really gay.
Yeah, not since Finland sent monsters.
Well, you know what? Considering that they sent, or one of the songs of the final for Norway last year was a song called "I Am Gay," sung by a cisgender heterosexual woman. I think this is possibly just them balancing the scales a little bit.
She meant it in like the West Side Story sense.
Ah, of course. Nah, it all makes sense now.
You can be gay in America.
Anyway, back to Norway.
Yeah, what else did we have here in this semifinal?
Well, we actually are kind of looking forward to the semifinal for this weekend. We have more yoinking down the pipeline. So yeah, we're from the song Pages, featuring Marianne Pentha, who was actually the voice of Elsa from the Sami dub of Frozen 2. I didn't even realize that they had a Sami language version of Frozen 2, but good on them for having that.
It kind of makes sense.
Anything for the extra buck. You know they did.
Well, and I feel like Frozen would do well there.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. It's basically a documentary.
Yeah, so Marianne Pentha is duetting with Mikkel Gaup, who I found out appeared in the Lars von Trier movie Breaking the Waves.
Mm-hmm.
And was also featured in the movie Pathfinder, which was nominated for Best Foreign Language Film in the Oscars in 1988. So that's pretty cool.
He was the star of it. He was like the main guy in Pathfinder, which is apparently was the first feature film ever made in the Sami language.
Really?
Yeah.
How cool is that?
Yeah, he was the Sami guy in it, and it got nominated for an Oscar.
Finally bringing some gravitas to Norway.
Yeah. Take that, 2G.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, 2G. I don't want to make fun of 2G. I like 2G.
Any guesses as to what that movie lost to at the Oscars?
1988?
Danny, you might have had a guess, I thought.
I thought it was Au Revoir Les Enfants.
So that was also nominated, Louis Malle classic.
Oh, neither of them won.
No, they both lost to Babette's Feast.
Oh, Babette's Feast. Okay. All right. From Denmark. Take that. You can take that.
But yeah, it was nominated the same year as Au Revoir Les Enfants.
What a year.
That's a vintage year right there.
Mm. Other nominees, if anyone cares, they don't, but here they are anyway. Course Completed or Asignatura Aprobada from Spain by José Luis García, and The Family or La Familia, which is a Ettore Scola film from Italy.
The Family.
I don't know anything about either of those. But it's a very, very Eurovision-esque set of nominees. They're all European.
True. Well, good to know. It looks like
three of the big five.
Yeah.
Sorry, just a quick note.
Yeah.
It was made in 2007, starring Carl Urban as a white man who was adopted by Native Americans and then fights Vikings.
Oh, what? I see. That old jag.
Gross. So, wow.
It was directed by the guy who did the Texas Chainsaw Massacre remake.
Oh, good.
Wow.
So you're in good hands.
Yes.
You're in good bloody hands.
You can cut that part out, but I just thought that was interesting.
No, we should leave it in.
We are actually getting news from Croatia within the next few days.
We are, yeah. The snippets of the songs will be released on the 6th, so by the time you are listening to this podcast, you'll probably get a little minute of the songs for Dora. We do have word that the national final will not have a live audience, but it will be live from the city of Opatija, where it's generally traditionally been for the last couple of evers. So no live audience. Artists will have to show a negative COVID test before getting to Opatija, or else they could be turned away. But yeah, so at least we have some motion out of Dora, generally a pretty solid national final with a couple of really promising entries potentially in the mix for this year. I know that we talked about this before with Mia Nagovicic and Colors by Bernarda. So could be very good. So I'm looking forward to the 6th to see what we got.
Me too. The COVID thing could be a real wild card. Don't
you
think?
Yeah. Like, I mean, like you could have a favorite.
If like everybody is crazy about like Mia's song, for instance, and then, oh, she got COVID and then she can't go compete.
She's out.
That's it. You know,
oh, that's rough.
Yeah. To be clear, we all hope in full sincerity that nothing like that happens.
Yeah.
Because that would be terrible.
Yeah.
But it would also be wild.
I mean, otherwise, what are they going to do? Are they going to host the final from like a 19th century sanatorium?
I mean, like the nice sanatoriums with like fountains and gardens that you can stroll around, or like one of those terrible haunted sanatoriums? Like,
haunted. This is Eastern Europe. We're doing haunted. This is the Balkans. Come on.
Okay. I'm sorry. My vision of sanatorium is just like people in a bucolic setting here eating graham crackers. Like that's a sanatorium.
There's a reason for that.
Yeah, it prevents masturbation.
You said it. Not
moving
me.
Along, we have.
Anyway, if you want to know a little bit more about the finalists in DORA, so the Croatian national final this year, they actually just released a like an hour long program called Eurosong od Doma. It's like Eurosong from home. Which is an introduction to all of the acts. They have little interviews, they're subtitled, and also performances from a lot of these artists, Eurovision and DORA favorites from years past. So Eurosong Od, O-D, D-O-M-A. Look that up on YouTube. I watched it earlier today, and it was actually really interesting. So
I'm here to OD on Eurosongs. Who's next?
Can we please move on?
Absolutely. And we move on to, oh God, it's Belarus.
Oh, yikes. Hey, can you just, let's just not talk about what possible songs. Can you just read Choppy Chop again? If we're judging off the last three songs that Belarus has sent, that's a good gauge, I feel.
It's not a ton of news out of Belarus. A little bit different from previous years where they've had like 100 or so entries into whatever ends up being the final selection. This year they've said they have about 50. So less than half. And it's not super clear if that's just fewer people that are going for it or if the submissions haven't been as good or whatever. But the initial pool is going to be smaller than we're used to from Belarus. That's about it. Not a ton from Belarus. Let's talk about Bulgaria.
Oh, yeah.
We know that Victoria is going to be dropping her first EP very, very soon, probably in the next few weeks. It's just going to be called A Little Dramatic, all in lowercase, so A Little Dramatic. And it will include her Eurovision song. We just don't know which one it's going to be. So I think there are going to be like five or six new unreleased tracks, probably including...
Ugly Cry.
Ugly Cry, thank you. We just don't know which one is going to be selected for Eurovision.
I love that. That's great.
That very, very well played by the Bulgarian delegation by Victoria and her team. This is very wisely done. Drums up great interest in the artist, furthers her musical catalog amongst the fandom, and creates that sense of intrigue. I love it. Very well done. Really looking forward to this EP.
Is there going to be any sort of input in terms of any sort of public or jury vote in terms of which one it's going to be? Or are they just saying, these are the ones we're going from?
Have no idea. I don't know whether within Bulgarian national television, they've already decided which one it's going to be and they're just playing coy, or if they're going to release the EP, see what people go for, see which song gets the most Spotify hits and most plays on whatever platforms they're streaming on and going from there. I would be shocked if it wasn't the latter, knowing how savvy this team can be when it comes to current social media trends. I really think that they would be playing their cards well if they kind of looked into that a bit. So BMT, we'll see what they say.
Is there any indication on songwriters on any of these songs?
I have no idea. I'm sure that some of the works that they were working on, there was a songwriting camp on the Black Sea over the summer. So I'm assuming that some goodies probably came to the surface through that, but I don't know who was there. I don't know if it's going to be Symphonics or just Victoria or somebody we've never even heard of. Who knows? But I'm looking forward to it. A little dramatic.
All right.
Just one little bit left of urgent news. Not even that urgent, but in Spain.
It's pretty urgent. It's Spain.
Yeah it's Spain.
Well, it's Spain. So they're going to it's pretty laid back. It's urgent, but they'll take a nap beforehand, a midnight tapas crawl.
I need to move to Spain.
Seriously. Yeah.
Oh. Anyway, Blas is going to be singing against Blas in his own national final sometime in February.
Yes, the Blas off. Yes. Mm-hmm. It's a two-song national final, head-to-head against himself. It'll be him performing with other people, just as a sort of a showcase with these two songs. And we do have word that voting will be open to international viewers. So
finally.
Yeah.
Finally,
I get a say in what Blas does. I've been waiting.
I haven't been able to meddle in any foreign elections since the Czech election last year.
You're getting withdrawal, weren't you?
I am. As an American, I have to meddle in foreign affairs in order for me to be okay with myself. Thank you, Spain, for allowing me to release this gauge.
So, yeah, I mean, who knows what's going to happen between our time of recording and Friday when our show generally airs, but that's the news that we got for this week, and it's quite a lot of it.
So much.
So much. And we're going to have even more with this Lithuanian national final. We've got another semifinals, like we said, in Sweden and Norway. It's just it just keeps happening, y'all.
The hits just keep coming.
Mm. I'm excited, you guys.
It's that time of the season. I mean, this entire month, February, we're just going to have things rolling in and in and in.
And then March is going to come.
Yeah.
And it'll be drinking from the proverbial fire hose.
Hooray.
Yes.
It'll be like nothing we've ever seen before.
It's weird. It's like the Wikipedia page is just wonderfully patchy, where one column is so filled up with just, we know the artists for so many of these countries, and we just don't know the songs.
And that part's unusual. I mean, at this point, normally we don't know. We know like, what, 2/3 of the artists or something like that by now. Maybe not that many.
No,
it's more than half. It's more than half. Mm-hmm. And I'm so excited. I bet there's going to be at least 8 good songs.
That's a high wager right there.
Will one of them finally be from the UK? Only time will tell.
We haven't heard anything from the BBC, have we?
No.
Other than Graham Norton just kind of talking about it consistently.
It's going to be March 10th and someone's phone alarm is going to go off and they're going to go, oh my God,
that was due today?
Oh gosh, somebody call Jedward.
Yeah, that's fine.
I am unabashedly pro Jedward. Sure, fine, send him. Anyway, folks, let us know your thoughts. Which national finals are you looking forward to? What burning questions do you have for us? Hit us up.
Yeah, if anything this week stirred out a burning question idea, do send it to us.
Absolutely. Please do. At 12pointsUSA on Facebook or Twitter. We're happy to have them. Email us directly at 12pointsfromamerica@gmail.com. And check out our Redbubble if you feel like treating yourself to a nice, nice cozy sweatshirt or jumper during these cold winter months.
Or if you're in Australia, these cold summer months. Wait.
What?
It's fine. We'll edit it in post.
So, same time next week, guys?
Oh, yeah.
I'll be here.
Certainly.
I'll have to.
Well, where else am I going? Let's be real.
Yeah.
Well, until then, everybody, I've been Sam.
I've been Derek.
I've been Eric.
And I've been Danny.
And America.
Stop listening now. When you're a gay, you're a gay all the way.